welcome to episode 4 of PCSD.
What's the word?
We are talking 88 crime, a very important service here in our community, and we have two guests with us today.
We have Babette McDonald. She is the executive director of 88 Crime, and Detective Lisa Johnson here with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. And we really want to get into the collaboration of 88 Crime and the Pima County Sheriff's Department. You probably see it on the news anytime there's something going on. They say you can call the Sheriff's Department or you can remain anonymous at 88 Crime. So we kind of want to dive deep into that and talk about what 88 Crime actually does and how they help solve crimes.
Yeah, when I was working the news, every crime I covered, the last sentence was before I tagged out was, if you have any information, please call 88 Crime. I mean, it's like embedded.
Right, in me. I always
said 88 Crime, 88 Crime, 88 Crime. So, Babette, first of all, tell us about 88 Crime and what you guys do over there.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you both for having me on today. So 88 Crime falls under the Pima County Attorney's Office. And 88 Crime, along with law enforcement, has served as a conduit between Southern Arizona communities and many federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies to help prevent crimes. 88 Crime falls under the National Crime Stoppers USA program. Our name of 88 Crime is basically showing if you call on a phone keypad, you just dial 88-CRIME and you get to our anonymous tip line. The goal is the same in all of these programs. It's simply to engage the community in order to reduce crime. And so our famous saying is, if you see something, say something.
Yeah, very important in the work that we do here at PCSD and the work you do as well. How do you partner with law enforcement to help solve those crimes?
Yeah, we do that in a couple of ways. The first thing we have to say is we would not be able to do what we do in 88 Crime without the partnership with law enforcement. They are incredible people doing so many things for this community. So essentially what we do is we collaborate with them by going to different community resource events with them. We provide them different information that when they're canvassing a neighborhood or an area and they want information, they can utilize our cards and our different information to leave this for people. The benefit is all of this can be done anonymously. We do not tape our calls. We have an encrypted phone line. We don't have caller ID. All of this is very high tech. And so when somebody calls in, we don't know who you are. We don't establish anything. We sanitize every single tip that comes through. So if somebody is calling and it is a female, we're not writing the gender of the person. We are just simply writing the information. Our main goal is to protect the anonymity of our callers.
How important is that to make sure it is anonymous? Because I'm sure there are people out there, well, if I could call, they know it's me, they're tracking my number. You know, how do you ensure the people that it is anonymous?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, we ensure it by our program's been around since the 80s, and we have the ability to forward this information to law enforcement. Like I said, it's an encrypted phone line. So it's not a regular telephone line where I can pick it up and see your caller ID. It comes through a completely separate phone line that is run through our office. And so it's encrypted. Like I said, it is not taped. We do not record our calls. And all of the information, if you happen to say his, hers, anything that's identifying our call takers are actually sanitizing all of that information. So when we forward this information to law enforcement, all of that is removed. We review each tip that comes in order to secure the anonymity for everyone. We recognize that people are scared. Yeah. We recognize that people are feeling like they could be retaliated against. But we also recognize that our community is here to protect all of our children, everybody who we live with together here, and that it is an incredible way to be able to do it anonymously.
And oftentimes there's a reward associated, right? If it helps lead to an arrest, how do you maintain that anonymity but also provide the reward?
Yeah, great question. When I first started at 88 Crime, that was my burning question. Like, how are you anonymous, but you're going to pay me?
Right.
So there is a reward process if an arrest is done or if a fugitive is picked up based on the information of the person who's calling. We're going to call them a tipster or a caller. And so when the caller calls in, we give them actually a case number and then we give them a password. The only people that have these two pieces of information are the people who are calling. We don't forward this information to anybody. We don't give it to anybody. So the anonymity is safe as long as that caller or tipster does not give that information to anyone else. So as you call back the next month, we encourage people to either call us back or go online to see the information. We don't say, hi, what's your name? We say, what is your case number and what's your password? Mm. Once they call and give us that information, that's the only way that we update any of this information because we don't have any other information to update. We go to that specific case. We see if an arrest was made. Our collaboration with law enforcement, which is incredible, they're reviewing these tips. They send something called a disposition that says, yes, this tip led to this arrest. And then what happens is we forward this information. We have a 501c3 nonprofit board. There are 88 Crime Inc. board, and each month they review a summary of what the tipster called and what the information was. Again, everything is sanitized. They don't know any of the information except for the generic facts of the case. And we all utilize with local law enforcement a P3 system, which is a system that the tipsters can go on and they can write additional information. We can go on and dialogue with the tipsters, and then we can also dialogue with the police department. So let's say that caller called in, an arrest was made. We will take that before the board. The P3 system actually has a formula that's assigned. Let's say it's a homicide case or an aggravated assault case. We put in all of the different crimes that were committed, and then based on this formula, it gives us an amount that we should be looking at and that the nonprofit board should be determining. That our board is consist of 25 members of the community who get to determine what that would look like. So on a homicide, you can receive up to $2,500. So let's say that that reward is approved and it's $2,500. That caller would call us back, give us that same case number and password, and then we would give them the specifics of where to go. We work and collaborate with all the different banks within Pima County. And so what happens is they walk into the bank and everybody's fearful, now I'm going to have to show my ID.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it happens. That caller brings the case number and the passcode into the bank. They give that information to the teller of all the different banks that we have collaborations with in Pima County. And then they are given cash by providing that number, and they walk away without showing their license, without giving any information, and they walk away with cash. So it's a win-win situation. We are here for the purpose. Laura Conover feels very strongly we want to do as much as we can about crime. And with local law enforcement, and of course, all of you, the media, we are then able to remove somebody off of the streets based on what law enforcement has determined. We don't do that. That's law enforcement is then able to remove somebody off the streets and make our community safer.
Well, there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. I'm mesmerized by the story, like how all the details, the bank numbers, and how this all works. That makes somebody, you know, who's anonymous feel a little bit safe about, you know, going in and getting their money. Why is it important that you guys partner with local law enforcement, including the Sheriff's Department? Why is that bond or that relationship so important?
Well, honestly, we could not do what we do in 88 Crime without law enforcement. Law enforcement does all of the investigation. They're doing everything in order to ensure that this tip assisted them, but they've worked up all the cases and done all the investigative work. So it is a partnership because we also, as law enforcement, can ask us as 88 Crime, could you ask the tipster this question? What color was the car? do they know? Law enforcement's not able to talk to the tipster because it's an anonymous program. So WeWorks is such an essential collaboration. So we'll go ahead and contact the tipster, ask that question. It's up to the tipster whether they want to provide that information or not. But again, without local law enforcement in general, we could not do anything that we do with this program. Like I said before, they're amazing at what they do day in and day out. We're just a small little piece of this iceberg, the tip of the iceberg, but they do all of the work. But it is beneficial because we feel very strongly about the fact that we want people to feel okay reporting crime. We want them to feel protected, and that's what our whole program is based off of.
Wonderful. And there are a few success stories. You get a lot of calls, but how many have actually led to something being, case closed, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so that's a really good question also. So what I can tell you is that back in 2022, we received well over 300 tips. Part of our collaboration is we know exactly, because law enforcement has allowed us to know this information, who to contact when these types of tips come in. So we're not just sending them out to all of the sheriff's departments. We're sending them out to that specific sergeant, captain, detective who leads that unit, and then they work that tip if it's beneficial. And so that's the way how we're collaborating in turn also. I know that there have been numerous tips based on law enforcement's investigation that have been closed and cases have been cleared. And so for that, we're really thankful to the Sheriff's Department.
Going back to flyers and all that, how often do you guys work with the families? Do they give money? Do they give you pictures? How does that work?
Yeah, so the flyers are something that we are increasing within my office right now. We are reaching out to local law enforcement when we see something and asking if we could make a flyer on behalf of them, and then we're posting it to our 88 crime social networks, and we are also spreading the word with other collaborators that we have by forwarding that flyer information. I think, Kevin, what you're talking about is called a supplemental reward agreement, and again, a great question. So people in the community should be able to know that on homicide cases, cases like that, they have the ability as a family or maybe a company that this loved one who was killed wants to donate some money. There is a supplemental agreement contract form that is done specifically by 88 Crime Incorporated and that person, whether it's a business or a person. And it is an agreement because as of 88 Crime, we can only pay up to $2,500 for a reward. But let's say that you have a family member whose loved one was killed and they want to put an additional $10,000 towards our $2,500 for a total of $12,500. They would have that capability by contacting my office, and we would draw up a contract agreement. That $10,000 would go into a restricted fund. All of this is done by 88 Crime Incorporated. And so that money is restricted. And then if an arrest is made due to the tip, and that would be all information from local law enforcement letting us know, that person, that caller who was able to give us that information, could receive that reward of up to $12,500. It's an incredible incentive. It's something that the families feel really strongly about. Businesses, friends, corporations, just, you know, wanting to do something for that loved one and making a difference. And so I think it's a really incredible opportunity for people to be able to do something. It's very disheartening how people have no control over many things, but sometimes that is something that they want to do in order to do something for that loved one.
Absolutely. And sort of shifting gears here, I want to bring in Detective Lisa Johnson with the Pima County Sheriff's Department. And you hear Babette talk about the family wanting to do something. You work cold case.
I do.
And so you know firsthand what it's like for families to just want to have hope in their cases. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I work in the homicide and cold case, but I strictly work in cold case, but I have carried over some homicide cases along with me, and I have worked with Babette on one of my cases, which is the Christina Leonard case, and her family is very involved. The brother always wants flyers. We've updated the flyers, and Babette and 88 Crime has been very good about getting us that information. He goes around and he posts those flyers. The families for the older cold cases that I have, they call every year. I have families that still reach out to find out where we're at on the cases. And the nice thing with the cold cases is that we are working with genealogy. So now we're working into a different aspect of how we can try and get those cases resolved, because some of them, you didn't have DNA testing back in those days.
Very interesting. Question for you, Babette.
Sure.
What is it like for you if a tip leads to something or some type of closure to a case? What is it like for you when you hear that?
Yeah, it's amazing to know that families can be able to do something and hear this information. It's really important. It just shows me that change can happen, and with such incredible collaborators as we have as the media and our law enforcement and our own 88 crime program, that something good might have come out of this as far as the family having some peace and having some closure on what's really going on.
We'll do right now. We'll take a break and we will come back on PCSD. What's the word?
Listen up, Pima County. We need to come up with a game plan to protect you from the bad guys. PCSD has received too many calls about car break-ins. Most of these incidents can be avoided by simply locking your doors. Come on, Pima County, get in the game and remember the routine. Remove it, lock it, or you will lose it.
And welcome back to PCSD. What's the word? We are talking 88 Crime with...
We have the executive director of 88 Crime, Babette McDonald, and we also have Detective Lisa Johnson with the Pima County Sheriff's Department.
All right, we're gonna grill you, Detective Johnson.
Oh, boy.
No, let's first off, how long have you been with the Sheriff's Department?
I've been with the Sheriff's Department for 17 and a half years.
Okay.
And okay. I'm sure the next question is how long have I been in criminal investigations, or we call it CID?
Correct.
So I've been in, I actually started investigating in patrol work and then moved into CID back in June of 2014. Worked in basically economic crimes for just about over a year, and then moved into the violent crime section. Worked in robbery assault for 4.5 years, and then moved to homicide and then to cold case.
Was that your choice? Did you want to go to violent crimes?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because it is hard work, but it's rewarding work. Because when we make an arrest and we actually go through the process for trial or criminal, and working with the county attorneys and the judges, and we actually get somebody who is convicted of that crime, they go away. And it gives relief to the victim at that point, knowing that that person is not going to be in their life and not cause them any more anguish or harm.
So how often do you work with 88 Crime? How often do you use 88 Crime?
I will tell you, when I was in robbery assault, I worked with 88 Crime a lot. And robbery assault is not just, robberies, and then you have aggravated assaults. And you have home invasions, and you have a lot of other aspects that fall under robbery assault, robbery assault umbrella. So we worked, I worked a lot with 88 Crime. We would get a lot of tips. Homicide's a little bit different aspect because we're looking for a particular individual. Sometimes we already know who the individual is. Obviously, we have some cases where we're still working under cold cases that we're still trying to figure out who that individual is as well. But with the robbery assault group, you're looking for, you know, armed robberies at businesses. You're looking for home invasion information. You're looking for aggravated assaults. Where people are using, you know, many types of different weapons. It's not, you know, just one particular type of thing. Looking for road rage incidents is another issue that would fall under robbery assault. So we put out bulletins. We work with, that goes out to the media, obviously. The media says call 88 Crime, and then 88 Crime would get a tip through there. I will tell you, one of the things that I did not know is that we could contact 88 Crime and actually ask for more information from the individual who called in. So that's a great thing to find out from Babette today, because some of the tips that we get can be very vague, and they are not, I don't want to say they're not helpful, but they're so vague, it's just really hard to try and narrow down what we're looking at. Some of the tips that we get, we already know that information. So we'll respond back and say, we already have this information. So it's not something that's still open on their end, and it's closed at that point.
When that happens, is that like kind of double confirm if somebody sends in a tip that stuff that you already know, does that kind of double confirm what you guys are looking at or who you're looking for?
Well, it can. You know, it could be that we've already interviewed that person and that's information that we already have. And yeah, it can confirm it, that what they told us is the same thing. Sometimes we get tips that we know are probably, you know, called in to maybe throw us off a little bit on our investigation. So we have to take what we get from 88 Crime, do the investigation, and either it's founded or unfounded.
How important is it for people who may have seen something to say something?
It's really important. And one of the things that we run into is, depending on where we're at and where we're working, there are individuals that don't like law enforcement. They're afraid of law enforcement. They see something, they're afraid of repercussions of what will happen if they say something in their community. So this is a perfect opportunity for them to use 88 Crime because it is anonymous. There's no identification of this individual. And for them to come to give or contact 88 Crime and give them this information is extremely helpful, because then we can run with that information, whether it's social media or you know, monikers or nicknames of individuals. We have other means that we can use through other law enforcement agencies to try and locate that information that they gave us.
Okay. At what point during an investigation are you saying, all right, we're leads aren't getting there, we need to go to 88 Crime? Is there a certain day? Is there a certain timeline?
I you can't put it down to a day. We work the case very heavily. And when we get to a point where we've said, okay, we're at, you know, we'll say, let's do a media release and let's get this information, and that we're asking the community for their help, because we've reached a point in the investigation where we do need their help. There are some cases where, like I said, we already kind of know who the individual is. We may have made an arrest within a couple of days. There are some cases that we're working, such as cold cases, that we're still looking for information, even if it's a case from 40 years ago. I know this sounds weird, but, you know, I'm sure somebody knows something out there of a case that happened a long time ago, and they were just too afraid to say something. And even if they come forward now, it could help us solidify and bring an arrest and closure to that family.
So important. What happens once you receive a tip from 88 Crime?
Based upon my own experience, I take the information and work it. If it's workable. Sometimes we get information that's very vague and it's very difficult to work. But if it's got a lot of detail to it, and that is one thing that I would reach out to the community that and the individual calling in, give us as much information as you can and be detailed in that information. If it's vague, it's very hard to work it. But if you give us a detailed information, then we can go in and work it. And I've received 88 Crime tips on some of the cases, homicide cases that I still have, and I go back and whatever it leads me to, I'll go out and investigate it. Once I've conducted that investigation, if it doesn't lead to anything, or if it's just not founded or where it would be applicable to the case, I'll close the 88 Crime so it's not sitting out there.
You talked about a case, you know, that someone could have information about 40 years ago, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. And it's important to note that a lot of these cases, there are so many, right? And I want to go back to you about social media and how you have them sort of broken down so that people can go on there and say, hey, maybe I know this guy, or, you know, this person's my neighbor, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So in order to go onto our website, you would just go into 88, the two numbers, 88crime.org. And what you'll see is you'll see a lot of things like you just mentioned. You can break them down per crime types, and we have flyers for each person. We don't make those flyers unless if we get approval from law enforcement. Law enforcement is asking us to make these. But for those of you who've never been on 88crime.org, it's really it would be very helpful if you could go on there, because some people recognize these people from 20 years ago. And so on the top of it, there's different categories. So under homicides, you've got the flyers of the victims. Under aggravated assaults, you've got whatever information that law enforcement has provided us. Hit and runs, cases like that. We do deal with felony cases. Sometimes people are a little apprehensive on calling us because they're not sure if it's a misdemeanor or if it's a felony. I would encourage you to call us on any case. If we are able to utilize the information, we will let you know and we will forward it to law enforcement. And if not, then we will let you know. We will let the caller know where that person should go to report this. Another thing that I just wanted to throw out there is we are not the substitute for calling in for crimes in progress. That is 911. That's a very important fact. Sometimes we'll get somebody who's calling and saying, I see somebody running out, they've got five Louis Vuitton handbags with them, and we ask them to hang up and call law enforcement. The other thing is we don't work victim calls based on the fact it's not anonymous, but they can go into our social media. The other thing that I just wanted to encourage people to do is there's three different ways to give a tip. So you can call, if you open up your phone, you can call 520- and spell out 88CRIME, and that's 882-7463, and you will get connected directly to our call line. The other way that you can do it is you can visit 88crime.org, the one that I was talking about a few minutes previously, and you can actually download a tip right on there. And again, we don't have any of your information. And then the third way of doing it is everybody who has an Android or an Apple phone can actually go to their application store and they can download. It looks like a P as the letter, P as in Paul, and then there is a 3 inside that large P. They download it and people can give us tips right from their phone. Again, these lines are completely encrypted. We're not looking at IP addresses. Like, we don't have anything. It goes through a special computer program. So all of these different ways are imperative. Police can only be there at so many places at one time, but we have community members who see so much. And just think how powerful that would be and how much more protected we would feel our children are if everybody made an attempt to call 88 Crime and report things. And again, giving that family some of the closure that's needed, or taking those people off of the street so that they cannot continue to victimize more of our community members is really essential.
Has social media helped with getting more tips into 88 Crime, whether it's people, you know, downloading the app and sending in tips that way?
Yeah, I really believe it has. I believe it gives people different avenues and also allows them to maybe feel more protected different ways. We have people that, you know, I'm out in the community a lot, going to different community resources and things like that. And so we give them the opportunity to do these three different ways. And, you know, you can tell by people, they're like, oh, that's good. So what I'd like, the story I make up is maybe that's good that this is the way they communicate. They feel safer doing this way, or they understand it more.
In the world that we live in, you know, we were having lunch the other day up in the office, and we were talking about just being vigilant, right, of things that are happening around you. Lisa, this question for you. I don't want to be in a situation where there's a crime committed near me, but what should I, if there was, what kind of things would be helpful? Like, sometimes, to give you an example, sometimes I'm driving and there's, you know, a car that's, you know, just a little sketchy, might look like it's up to no good. And I remember looking at the license plate and I'm like, okay, like, if something happens, like, take a mental picture of that. Is there
which any, you won't remember.
Which I won't remember, right? I have to be hypnotized or something. I don't know. But I guess my question is there any, like, three things that are helpful to kind of, you know, do you look for height? Do you look for age? Like, what descriptors would be helpful to be vigilant if you were to see something that was off?
That's a great question. Because when we do our investigations, a lot of times the clothing description is incorrect. And it's not because, it's just because of the, it's because of the adrenaline going that, you know, everybody is amped up and they have this mental picture of what's going on, but they don't, when they give the description, it doesn't quite jive with what we have, right? So, you know, I don't want to say take out your phone and take a picture, but a lot of people put their phones up on their dashboards now, and they're actually video recording what's going on in front of them. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have GoPros. Some of the trucks have GoPros. They put the GoPros up too. So, first of all, safety is the main thing. If you're in a situation where you think something is going on around you, your safety is the main concern. So get out of that situation, right? But if it's a situation where you're stopped and you see something happening, maybe it's a domestic issue between partners, you know, if you take a snapshot and then call law enforcement, if you're comfortable calling law enforcement. If you're not, call 88 Crime and give that information to them. Because on 88 Crime, you can put pictures on there.
Absolutely.
So that's not, so don't think it just has to be written. You can put social media information on there. You can put captions of pictures on there. So it could be helpful to any law enforcement agency here where maybe it's a road rage incident and you see these two vehicles, you know, having an interaction. If you, I had a case where it was a road rage incident where a female actually got out of her vehicle and walked back to the victim and had produced a knife, but the window was rolled up even though she was striking at the window. She had her phone out and she was able to record it, and an arrest was made on that. So main thing is the safety. But if you can capture a picture, and again, you know, we do have certain laws that, you know, you're not supposed to text while you're driving and things like that. But if it's a situation where you think you're safe and you can get a picture, certainly take one. If you can't, try and have a mental, draw a mental picture for you. Like if I'm looking at a license plate, I always try to associate it with a word, if that makes sense. Some of the characters on the license plate are, oh, that I'll remember that. It's a song or something like that. So try to associate it with something that's going to help you remember. It's really difficult to provide a description of a driver of a vehicle because you're behind them and you're not going to have facial features. So, but long hair, short hair, wearing a ball cap, not wearing a ball cap, sunglasses, no sunglasses, things like that. So just try to remember it. But it is difficult. Because you are in a situation, your adrenaline's going, you know, what you think you recall may not be what you see.
Yeah, I always think of that situation if I were to be in a restaurant or something mm-hmm. like that, and just being aware of, you know, your surroundings and what, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully nothing happens, but in the event that it does, to be aware.
Well, and be aware of your surroundings. A lot of people have their heads in their phones nowadays, so put your phone down and have a nice meal, you know, and be aware of what's going around you. Same thing with walking out, you know, walking in a mall or anywhere, you know, just be aware of what your surroundings are.
What if we have somebody listening that says, you know, I may have a tip, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's something small that I saw. Do you still want to hear from those folks?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because it's something that might be insignificant to them, or something small could be what we're looking for in our case. So we'll make that determination of whether we can use that tip or not. I don't want a person to not give a tip because they think it's insignificant or it's not a big deal. We'll make that determination on whether it's going to help us with our case or not.
Okay.
Yeah, and Lisa brings up a great point, because as far as my office goes, we forward every single tip, because even though they are vague at times, just based on the fact that we don't have all the pieces to the puzzle, but we might have that one piece of the puzzle that they don't have law enforcement, so we forward it. So again, if anybody has any information about any type of crime, you know, a felony crime, look at those pictures, review the different information that's on our website that law enforcement has provided us, please just call our tip line, give us the information, we will forward it appropriately, and let law enforcement determine what the next step is.
Okay.
A lot of moving parts, right?
There is. It takes a lot of communication, I believe.
So one thing that we like to do in the podcast is talk about topics that are not as heavy, right? This is, you know, we're talking about crimes, some of them violent and that kind of thing. But one thing we like to talk about is what you guys like to do when you're not working. And something that strikes me is when we're watching, you know, these crime shows, and they get a tip, and all of a sudden, by the end of the episode, they've solved a crime. Is that how it works? I wish you guys could see their faces right now.
Yeah. I would like to say sometimes we know who it is. I mean, that's, you know, everything leads to a particular person, right? Or persons on that crime. Other times it doesn't. It's a lot of work. You know, we don't solve it in 48 hours sometimes. Sometimes we do. Is 48 hours absolutely essential? It is, because we're constantly working it. I have a case that took me 10 months. So, I mean, it's just different.
Could not put that in a one-hour show.
They'll probably try. But
yeah. Do you watch any crime shows and like point it out and be like, that's not how it works?
I do. I try not to. I watch the ones that we've had on, you know, either through us or through another agency that we've assisted in their investigation. I like to watch shows with serial killers. I know that sounds kind of weird, but there's a lot of interesting things about that. I used to watch 48 Hours all the time back in the day. I don't watch it anymore, but there are a lot of ones out there that are interesting. It's just different.
Yeah.
How about you? Any crime shows you like?
Yeah, I watch some of those crime shows, kind of like Dateline or 48 Hours every so often. So
Dateline has a lot of commercials. So
yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah, I know. I'm usually getting something else to eat or a Cheeto or something, yeah. You know, during that time. But yeah.
Oxygen has a lot.
Yeah,
they do. A lot of different ones. And then I can't even remember the channel now. It's just nothing but crime shows.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really like, when I have time, I do those kind of things. I love to read. I love to spend time with my family, you know, doing some of those things that are so meaningful. Love to travel, you know, those kind of things. So is there a lot of time? I don't know, Lisa. For me, no. What about for you?
I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to retire. There you go.
Yeah.
Then I might. Yeah. And then I won't have any time.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll be like, why? How did I do this while I was working? Right?
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, one thing we love to talk about that everybody loves to talk about is food.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to grill you guys on a question of food. Tucson, it's hot, so we like cold treats. So I was going to ask you, what is your favorite cold treat, Babette?
Oh, that's not hard. So the Culver's Concrete salty caramel, hot salty caramel with Butterfinger is my favorite. And trust me, I have gone to several different places and this is the best one.
Wow.
Very
so. You sound like it an expert. I am an expert.
I am, trust me.
I'm not as exciting, but I'm going to stick with a true and tried favorite, which is Dairy Queen's peanut butter parfait.
Oh, okay.
Mm. That is chocolate and peanut butter is the best.
That's right. Okay. They go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah, right. With a little bit of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. I don't think it's ice cream.
Soft serve.
Soft serve, yeah.
We're recording this in the morning and now we want ice cream.
All
breakfast.
I want, yes.
Well, I still have two meals. You've got lunch and dinner ready. So
I'm an adult. You can have ice cream for
breakfast. Yeah, you can do whatever you want, right?
Yeah, why is there constraints here?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really.
You can have oatmeal for dinner.
It's true. What about you, Kevin?
I'm going to go Dairy Queen again. I like the Butterfinger Blizzard. That is like my favorite. I love it. It's just great. And it probably reminds me of as a kid, my parents would bring me to Dairy Queen. I'd have a Blizzard, Butterfinger. And so now that I'm an adult, I can eat it whenever I want to.
Yeah. Especially when they have a sale going on at Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
I like the Mexican Raspados.
Oh, yes.
With the shaved ice. There's a place off of, I believe it's Ina. It's called Hemas. And they do, my mouth is watering talking about it. They do a little bit of shaved ice and then they do ice cream shaved ice and you can get like different fruit on it.
Oh, nice.
So I always get strawberry
that
with like sweet
delicious.
Cream.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't brought me one to work
yet. Because it would melt.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll take it.
She probably has, but she ate it on the way.
That's so true.
And that's so my friend true. Was from Detective Johnson.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, we want to thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for giving us your time, the insight of 88 Crime and Detective Johnson, the insight of what you do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So important to keeping our community safe. So again, if you have a tip out there and can help 88 Crime, if you want to remain anonymous, and if you don't, We will take your calls here at PCSD.
Absolutely.
Yeah, please do. If you know something, say something, reach out to 88 Crime, reach out to PCSD. And thank you for joining us on PCSD. What's the word?